thank you for letting us share in these moments with you. And now I'd like to add by bringing some words of charge to you as well. In the great chapter of faith, Hebrews 11, we're told that these words about Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, their heirs with him of the same promise. You notice as you listen to those verses that it says that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, are all characterized as living in tents. Now, I'd like to read a number of passages from the book of Genesis, and I want you to watch for that word tent. Your students who have successfully completed an exhausting course of study. And so I want you to see as I read these verses if you can notice something of a pattern. Genesis 12:8, speaking of Abraham, and he moved from there to a mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. In Genesis 13, verses 3 to 4, speaking again of Abraham, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. In Genesis 13:18 also, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent, even as far as Sodom. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Then speaking of Isaac, we have, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants before my servant, for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. That's Genesis 26. And then finally, Genesis 33, verses 18 to 20, speaking of Jacob, the third of the patriarchs. Then Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he had come from Paddan Aram, and he pitched his tent before the city. And he bought the parcel of land where he had pitched his tent from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. Then he erected an altar there and called it El Elohe Israel. Now, if you're listening carefully, you'll notice that each of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, lived in a tent. As they moved from one location to another, they would move the tent and pitch it in the new location. But did you notice another pattern as I read through those passages? Each of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, also built an altar. Wherever they moved to a new home location, these men of faith pitched their tent, it says, and built an altar. Wherever they built a new home, they built an altar. Of course, in that time, sacrifices were an essential part of worship, and you can't offer a sacrifice to the Lord without an altar. And so the altar was just as essential to them, and that's the key. The altar was just as essential to them as they established their home, as was the place that would protect them from the elements. The altar was an essential part of their lives. Their actions speak loudly. It was just that important to them. So as they came, they would set up their tent, and then they would and they would also build an altar. Actually, with Isaac, he actually did it the other way around. First he built the altar, then he set up his tent. But that made a statement that as they were preparing for the material needs of their family, they were also saying, we have a priority, and we're planning to be a part of worship. Now, so why am I talking about that? Why are we talking about tents, altars, and some long-dead patriarchs? Well, as we think of this time in your life, you're sort of something of a tent where your tent may be moving. I could talk about the fact that over the last years you've learned a lot about tenses, and at times you've been tense, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about tents, not being tense. But as you're graduating from high school, you might be pulling up the pegs in one way or another and moving your tent to a new location. Perhaps you may be going away to a new school. Perhaps you'll be moving away from home for work. Perhaps you'll be staying at home but just beginning a new phase in life. In one sense, whatever it means, you're going to be kind of establishing a tent. Will you build an altar? Now, I think you know, I don't mean will you actually build an altar. Will you take stones and build up this mound on which you'll sacrifice animals? That's not what I'm asking about, but will you build an altar? As you start this new phase in your life, will you plan, prepare, and make it unquestionable that your walk with the Lord is a vital part of your life, just as much as eating, drinking, and having a roof over your head? Will you make a decision and a commitment and a plan and a preparation to walk with the Lord? Abraham was making a statement, for example, when he pitched that tent and then went right over and built an altar. Doesn't even say right away necessarily that he offered the sacrifice, but he was making a statement to his family. Part of our family life is we will worship the Lord. And he made that plan, made that preparation. It was intentional. It was planned. It was commitment. What would that look like for you? Well, you're not talking about putting up tents. You're not talking about building an altar. But what might that look like? Well, for one thing, it could start just in your own personal life and in a commitment to meet daily with the Lord in personal devotion to the Lord, reading the Scripture and seeking the Lord. You don't need an altar for that, but you open the Word. But make a plan, make a commitment, plan, prepare, be committed to meet with the Lord daily and worship Him, opening His Word. I remember reading about a pastor who wrote a little book, or a little article actually, and he entitled it, No Bible, No Breakfast. He had discovered in his life that, you know, he got to a place in his life where often he just didn't have time for the Bible. He just got too busy. But he noticed he somehow had time to eat. And he thought, well, there's a problem here. Am I really saying that the meeting of my physical needs is more important than my spiritual needs? And so he said, well, that's simple. If I can find time to eat, then I can find time to read the Bible. And he just made a commitment to himself. No Bible, no breakfast. He wasn't going to eat until he first feasted on the Word. Something simple as that in his life transformed laziness and forgetfulness to commitment. And the Bible became a daily part of his life. If you decide something like that, you would find that you wouldn't go very long into your day before you'd think about reading your Bible. When I was in college, I trusted Christ myself. You have the advantage on me with being raised in a different context than I was. It wasn't until college that I came to know the Lord. But I came early to understand the importance of being in the Word and the delight of being in the Word. I remember sitting in the college hallway there waiting for class to open and just reading through a little Gideon Testament and just being excited that all of it was starting to make sense. But I realized that as much with all the studies required of me that I could easily put the Bible aside. So I made a simple commitment. No Bible, no textbook. I wouldn't open a textbook. I wouldn't study for my class until first I'd been in the Word. So that meant often as I left early in the morning and went down, spent the day on campus, I brought along a big heavy Bible. This was before digital things. Some of you wouldn't understand that. And I can remember one time in the library, we were getting ready for a really big exam. One of the fellow students looked over the study carol and at the book and thought I'd discovered some book that I wasn't telling others about. There was a book no one else knew about. She said, what are you reading? And thought maybe I had an answer text. I said, it's the Bible. Well, I wasn't doing it to be seen. I wasn't doing it for show, but I was doing it for me. And I found that's what worked for me. Although I was committed to do my studies, what I was saying to the Lord and to myself was, there's something more important than studies. Just like that pastor said, there's something more important than food. Will you build an altar in your own personal life and make a commitment to meet with the Lord daily? Will you build an altar? Perhaps some of you will be relocating. Will you build an altar by finding and committing yourselves to the worship of the Lord with God's people? It's very easy to move to a new location and say, well, I'll get around to finding the other believers and connecting with them. And you might find yourself, if you take that approach, that it'll be all of a sudden you discover, my, it's been years since I've been faithful in attendance. If God should call you to move to a new location, will you build an altar when you pitch your tent? Before I close, I do want you to think back to Abraham's family. We'll talk about the three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how they had the pattern of establishing a tent and then an altar. And I'm sure Isaac learned it from Abraham and Jacob learned it from Isaac. They, as a family, they had seen it in Abraham's life, and so they copied it. Well, most of them did. Did you notice as I read through those passages that there was one that didn't fit the pattern? Back to Genesis 13, verse 12 and then 18. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. The neighbor moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Did you notice who failed to build an altar? Lot. Now, Peter tells us in 2 Peter that Lot was a righteous man. But he tells us his life was miserable. And if you read the account of Lot's life in Genesis, it was full of tragedy and heartache. His family did not honor the Lord, and he saw the consequences of his choices in utterly devastating ways. He saw personal and family ruin as a result of the decisions he made. It started with putting up a tent without an altar. He set up his tent toward Sodom, but there was no altar there. You're about to start a new phase of life. You may be moving your tent. Will you build an altar? One of the struggles young people sometimes have is they don't understand really how the decisions they make can have incredibly lasting and significant consequences. And while I stand before you much younger than Daryl and Rita Scott, I have lived not nearly as long, but long enough to have seen both paths lived out before me. Those who have chosen the path of wisdom and righteousness and following the Lord, and those who have chosen a path that says, I'll do something different. Or chooses just not to choose to build the altar. I'm not sure Lot made a conscious decision. Oh, I wouldn't think of building an altar like Abraham did. It may have been just uncomfortable. No one else in Sodom was doing it. He may have felt uncomfortable. What will people think? Or he may have just said, well, you know, I'll get around to it. I will get around to that one day. But he built no altar because he made no intention of building an altar. And he lived the rest of his life with sad, tragic, and heartbreaking consequences. I come before you with your family and friends longing to see you succeed, joyfully following the Lord and seeing His hand of mercy and prosperity, true shalom. To do that, to know God's richest blessing, to know the path of wisdom, to know the path of God's success, as you pitch your tent, you'll need to build that altar.